Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt. Als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing. I'm Manu Feit. This is the post-game reaction show with Steph Stafford-Bloor and Matt Ford. We are in the mixed zone at the Signal Iduna Park, and it was the usual disaster. 4-0 for Bayern Munich. They came into this game walking wounded. Borussia Dortmund could not capitalize. We're going to make this quick because we're waiting for players. But Matt, my expectations were quite low. I should have probably set them even lower. What do you think?
My expectations were actually a lot higher than that, particularly from a Borussia Dortmund point of view. They've won the, I think 10 of their last 11 games have been 1-0 wins. I mean, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 for Borussia Dortmund. And on the back of that, they came into the game with a completely different mentality. I think we were discussing that on pod a couple of weeks ago. And all that completely fell apart after 3 minutes, free header from a corner. And I think, I wonder if they were lulled into a slightly false sense of security. I saw it on the TVs at half-time. Yeah. And the build-up to that goal, he's talking 3 minutes into the game, Nico Schlotterbeck is marking Dayo Upamecano. And I'm not sure what's been said. I'd like to ask Upamecano myself if I get the chance. Smiles were exchanged, some sort of giggle, some sort of grin was exchanged. And 10 seconds later, Upamecano has just piled straight past Schlotterbeck and free header back of the net. And it all went on from there.
The second goal too, right? Schlotterbeck also misses his man. A quick counter-attack, then Kane makes it 2-0.
The way that goal came about, that could have then resulted in 5 or 6 similar goals. Such was the advantage that Bayern had in terms of pace all through the centre of the pitch. Yeah. That entire central axis from Borussia Dortmund, so starting with Hummels at the back, the central two of Özcan and Marcel Sabitzer, Reus and Füllkrug, who was utterly anonymous, by the way. That entire central axis was completely lacking in pace and was torn apart time and time again by Leroy Sané, who was fantastic, must be said.
Sepp, I watched an interview yesterday with Hans-Joachim Watzke. It was on Sky Germany, and he stressed that despite the defeat to Saarbrücken, Bayern Munich will still remain dangerous, that you should never underestimate them, and they're a wounded animal, they're dangerous. Did Dortmund maybe believe their own hype a little bit too much here?
I don't know about believing their own hype, but they're incredibly naive, Manu. Like Matt talked about the second goal and the kind of the systemic failure in the Dortmund midfield. There's so many moments during that move where a player had to be tactically fouled, had to calm down, because you can see the move develop, you can see the opportunity to stop it, and it just flowed forward and forward. Matt said it exactly right. Like there were probably four or five opportunities in the first half alone where Bayern could have scored exactly the same goal. And the positioning, the rest defence, and the irresponsibility with the ball was, I thought, absolutely staggering. And actually, with Özcan, you kind of have to be cruel to be kind, right? In that situation, you take a player off. Like, it's really difficult for him, but it's not the right moment. Without Emre Can on the pitch, there's no security in that midfield. Mm-hmm. And also, there's no purchase for any of the attacking players. Brandt came off, good player, but obviously, didn't look fit. Sabitzer had no effect on the game whatsoever. None of the attacking players had any real influence, apart from a few little flourishes from Marlon, maybe. I was stunned by how bad Dortmund were. Really, really surprised.
Yeah, I was really shocked too. Like, some of the thoughts that I had, first goal goes in, I'm like, okay, well, that's not the end of the world. That second one, you could feel it completely fall apart. One stat that I want to mention here, guys, there was not a single shot on Manuel Neuer that entire first half. Daniel Malen probably comes the closest with the ball that he puts over the crossbar. Neuer makes actually a big mistake in the first half, right, where he misplaces the ball when he passes it kind of across his own penalty zone. And then he throws it out of the back 2 or 3 times and completely misses the mark. You got to test a goalkeeper who's just come back from injury. You can't wait until all the way into the second half when you finally test him. And I think as bad as they were defensively, that attack, Matt, shocking as well.
Yeah, it was, and I think even when it came to making substitutions second half, Edin Terzic for a good year now has been making a point about how important and how impactful his substitutions can be, and it comes off for him on occasion. I've seen Gio Reyna come off the bench at times and score late winners. Yusuf Moukoko just last week did exactly the same in Frankfurt. Karim Adeyemi as well. This time they had no effect whatsoever, and it sort of left the impression that was the plan. some sort of impact off the bench. Not sure what the impact's going to be, but some sort of impact. Hope it's going to come about. And I think Seb's right to point out that Brand did not have his best game at all. Sabitzer was anonymous, despite the fact that a stat cropped up halfway through the game, I think after about 61, 62 minutes, at which point Sabitzer actually had the most kilometres covered by any player on the pitch, I think 8.1 kilometres by that point.
Felt like pointless kilometres.
Exactly. Yeah. When you see how little impact he had on the game, you have to wonder where on earth he was running. And Dortmund's other top players who've performed and been so key to them this season, Julian Brandt, as we mentioned, Daniel Marlin, all pretty anonymous. Niklas Füllkrug, even more so.
Did it surprise you how little opportunity they created with the systems within their football? When they built phases, okay, there's one or two overloads in the first half between Marius Wolf and Marco Reus down the near side. But the only effect like Karim Adeyemi had was when he picked the ball up 20 yards from his own goal line. And he's trying to run the ball forward. It's like a sort of like it's a kind of Victorian form of football. It's just there was no support to the attacking play. The amount of times that there was miscommunications within Dortmund's football, and it was like there was no automatisms within it, which is really surprising in modern football.
Given the run that Dortmund have been on, they've seemed solid throughout the season. Yeah. I mean, the mantra that we keep repeating, and we only repeat it because Edin Terzic keeps repeating it, less sexy, more successful, and that was neither today.
You know, I thought the Adeyemi substitution was actually kind of strange because, like, it seems like the sort of substitutions that you make when you're like, it's 0-0, 1-1 or 1-0, and you may be looking for a second goal because you're looking for some speed to explore Bayern Munich, right? Because, like, let's say this. Bayern Munich brought on Pavlovic for Upamecano. That's how thin that squad was, right? But, like, it seemed like, okay, we have this plan. We're down 2-0, but whatever. Let's just follow the plan anyways.
Adeyemi had such an impact appearance last week off the bench in Frankfurt, so I can maybe understand the thinking there.
But they were only down 3-2 at that point.
Exactly. I'm coming back from a deficit against Bayern is a completely different kettle of fish to Frankfurt.
And they thought, you know, Julian Brandt didn't have his best game, but the structure was completely lost when he was gone. That was like getting from... It was because right after that Kane made it 3-0, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kane though and the Bayern performance. They were walking wounded, but yet they were so deadly.
This is the difference, right? When Dortmund have issues at the top of the pitch, when they're not creating from midfield or when they're not attacking well, there's nothing that they can do to compensate that. When Bayern Munich have the same problem, Kane can drop into that 10th slot, even deeper, into his own center, into the center circle, and he can influence the play from there. Like, this is the first time I think I've seen Kane actually with chemistry, like proper Tottenham-like chemistry when he's playing for Bayern Munich. Before, like, the occasional 1-2, the occasional combination with we've got a massive fire engine coming past us. We cut it.
That was just Harry Kane's on fire.
Yeah. That's Harry Kane on fire here. They brought in the fire truck.
But then, this is the kind of the moment where, like, it feels like there's some understanding for what he does with the ball, and not just as a finisher, not as number nine, but as someone that can create. And you saw the way that Musiala reacted to him. Sané, I thought, like, Sané's had moments with him before. Alphonso Davies, like, it was so positive. And it's so positive. And also, Niklas Füllkrug can't do this. Yeah. Niklas Füllkrug is a number nine. There is nothing more to him. He's like a number nine, a 1990s number nine. And that's the difference between these two sides. There's no conversation.
I felt sorry for Niklas Füllkrug on that level.
Yeah, man, it's not his fault.
He looked lost.
The difference in calibre was incredible.
He's playing the role that he was bought to play. Like, and that's the player he is. You can't expect him to become... a compensation for the loss of Erling Haaland, or he hasn't quite even got the physicality of Sebastien Haller, and he's certainly not Harry Kane. So it's... I feel sorry for him.
I think Füllkrug is just a box player. You can't ask him to be a transition player. Like, that's just not who he is.
Not at this stage of his career. If you're a young player, you can relearn aspects of the game. But Niklas Füllkrug isn't young, and it's a wonderful story that he's even here, and he is reliant on service around him, and he didn't receive any.
Matt, maybe any final thoughts before we wrap this up, because I know players are going to come up and we'll have to deal with the mixed zone stuff, but any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Just that I don't think that Borussia Dortmund should... I mean, it's difficult to say just tick it off and move on, because it finished four, but it could have been six or seven.
Yeah.
But I think maybe not. Let's not get blinded to the fact that they have been unbeaten up until this point. They have had impressive performances, particularly that win away in Newcastle, which was genuinely impressive.
And next week they're playing them again.
Yes, next week again as well.
Yeah.
They are progressing. You know, they're through in the German Cup. They have Champions League qualifications for next rounds in their own hands.
No.
They, apart from today, have been showing a different approach, different mentality in games. I hate to use that word, and I hope no one hears it here because it's been banned. So if you can, maybe try and try and forget it, try and move on. Maybe it's a benefit to Dortmund. The Leverkusen also managed to just about win today as well, so it's not like Bayern have sprung up to the top of the table.
Well, they're nerve, right?
Like, exactly. So there's there's a long way to go, and it also shows how much further Edin Terzic and Borussia Dortmund also still have to go.
Right. And from you, Seb, any final thoughts?
No. I was surprised by Bayern. Felt like the evening when they turned the power back on. It's a really, really authoritative performance.
Yeah.
Very, very impressed. And like you said before, especially considering the depth issues and the problems in midfield, Kimmich's absence and the centre-back issues. Very, very impressive. And Kane,
brilliant.
Terrific. Best performance for Bayern so far. Definitely.
Yeah, that's made in mind the final thoughts too. We need to mention how good Bayern Munich were in this game. I think, you know, as much as we are hammering the issue with Dortmund, I think Bayern Munich, when they needed to be on, they were on. They were cruel, they were effective, they were fast. I thought their attack once again showed why it's one of the best in European football. Harry Kane, what a player. I'm glad he's here in Germany. Sorry, Seb. I mean, you're here too, so that's good.
Okay. Two hat-tricks in two games. Though.
Two hat-tricks in two games.
I know Cyril Guirassy's not been playing, but he's overtaking Guirassy, hasn't he?
You know what? He's been worth every penny. So, yeah. Anyways, the fire truck is coming back, so we have to leave. More stuff coming on Gegenpress. We'll be back soon. Until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Kein Ende in Sicht.